Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Talk with Ricky. I'm your host with the Paranormal Truth Seekers. Thanks for listening in as we start tonight's podcast. Let us begin. Thanks for listening. All right, so I have opened the gate to tonight's show. Once again, this is Ricky. I want to thank you guys for joining me. And tonight I have my returning guest, Josh, who's going to dive in and continue where we left off on our last one. So how are you doing tonight, Josh?
Well, doing all right, man. Just tired from the day-to-day work life. Other than that, good.
I definitely hear that. All right, so let's dive in. What you got for us today?
Yeah, we're just going to talk a bit more about the Anunnaki and the different things, like the path that led me down, like, to find all this information. And, like, I think it'd be a good to give a little bit more history on, like, how I started to come to this. Mm. Because, like, the journey to finding this kind of information is also as important as the information itself. It's, the beginning of starting to question things around you. I'll chat a little bit about that, like some of the sources that I've gotten a lot of my different information from. Those are also things I want to get on, like it's all sorts of stuff, man. Maybe even dabble a little bit of other stuff in here every once in a while. You never know.
That sounds great to me. It should be a good hour. All right, so let's jump in.
What was I just about to say? Anyway. So, yeah, so I'm going to start with, like, some of the things that got me down, you know, headed down this path. It was, like, back in 2017, like, I was going through one of the worst rough periods of my life, and, like, I seen an ad on Instagram, weirdly enough, and it was, like, one of those cosmic-type deals. It was for this station or this internet streaming service called Gaia, and I've introduced you to them. But,
yes.
Like, it was something about this documentary they have on there called Emotion. And it was like, it literally spoke directly to me because it was something I was dealing with at the time as, you know, huge emotional problems. But anyway, I went to this streaming service and like somebody had talked about, you know, the ancient alien gold theory. So what the ancient alien gold theory is, what we've been talking about these, you know, this past couple weeks is, you know, the progenitors of mankind essentially created man as slaves to mine gold. That's, you know, that's what the person told me. It was outlandish at the time, but it also kind of made sense to me. So I went on this streaming service, searched in, like, you know, that exact thing, and, like, videos popped up. So I started watching video after video after video, and I'm like, man, you know, this stuff's starting to make a lot of sense.
Right.
And, like, one of the shows on there that I've also showed you is called Ancient Civilizations. And what's crazy about this show is it's like the exact same thing as Ancient Aliens, but the non-mainstream version of it. So they don't water it down and are like, this could be aliens. They're like, no, this was these people, these advanced beings that built this stuff. And it's crazy because they have the same narrator and everything.
Right, yeah.
That guy, it's cool to watch.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You've watched a couple episodes.
Oh, yeah, it's very good stuff. Right. And like you said, it's more for us more than the general public, you could say.
Right, yeah. Like, I mean, I like what the Ancient Alien show is trying to do. I think they're absolutely, you know, trying to wake people up and slowly but surely to realize that, like, you know, the evidence is all around us that we've been interacting with advanced beings since the dawn of civilization.
No, like, doubt.
There is no doubt, man, when you just look at the evidence. So, yeah, like, I've always felt that there was more to human creation story than the either, you know, where either you're taught in school the evolution theory, and then if you're not taught that, you're taught the creation theory by your parents, you know, because 97% of people in the United States are Christian, right?
Right.
Literally the most popular religion. One of the world's most popular religions. Not quite so, but one of them.
Yeah. It's up there.
Anyway, you either get that story or you get the other story. Like, when in reality, you know, the truth is a combination of the two. You have you have natural evolution that is obviously, you know, that it's you can actually see, you can see it. You know, we can measure it as scientists. like, you know, evolution is not really a question in theory because it's been proven. However, it doesn't fit for us. Like, for us, it's more likely, like I said, we've been genetically tampered with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's one of the other things that has led me down this. It's like, it starts to, for me, it connects dots. Because I've always been a science guy. I've loved science since I was in school. Like, mm-hmm. I like to study things. But, yeah, like, that's, yeah, just, like, part of the thing that's led me to this point is, you know, I started watching all these videos. I'm like, man, this started to make a lot of sense. And then I started working at the security company.
Yeah.
Right. Started working at the security company where I was just essentially having to man cameras like graveyard shift or talk to people when they came in, but nobody ever came in. So I spent just countless shifts, hours and hours reading books and watching videos, and gave me a pretty clear picture. It introduced me to a lot of authors like David Wilcock and, like, I watched pretty much every single one of this dude's videos on Gaia, every single one of them. And, like, well, I do, I don't know, like, some of the stuff is incredibly mind-blowing to believe. Whether or not it's true or not, it's hard to say. You know, it's just,
right.
It's no matter what, it's always somebody else's word, right?
Right.
It's the same thing with history. It's the same thing with the translation of these Sumerian tablets. It's, like, ultimately, it is somebody else's word. I mean, these have been translated by multiple people, not just one, again, but that it is somebody else's word. So could it be in a skewed version of history? Absolutely. But, like, these things were inscribed into stone for a reason. That's something to think about. And, you know, people don't just inscribe stuff into stone because they want to do that. You know what I mean? They did it for us to find when we were ready. So, like, I look at it as, like, you know, they let the slaves have the planet, and then at a later date when they're ready, we can find out about our origin. And, like, I think that if enough people, like, come together and realize about the origin, that's when they would make themselves known, because I don't think that they ever really left. Like, I just think that they are behind the scenes. And I think that there's, just like in their tablets, there's two different factions of them. There's the one side that wants to help us and one side that wants to see us fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a betting game behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
But it is. I mean, honestly. Like, you're, the title they use, like, who are the Anunnaki and what do they want? Like, that does fit. I definitely think it does, like, for the topics. Like, what is it that they want? I think what they wanted when they originally came here was to mine our gold and ship it back to their planet, at least according to the tablets, that's what they say. What do they want now? That's a solid question. Like I said, maybe half of them, you know, one side wants to see us evolve and one side wants wants to see us keep serving them. And, one other thing I wanted to mention, like, one of the most interesting finds in one of the episodes of the Ancient Civilization show, they talk about the Sumerian Kings List. And that's why they're able to pretty much date back when they, according to the Sumerian stories, like, they date back 443,000 years. And they had a detailed list of every single person, like the Kings List, every single king from that far back. So, and like these... these people reigned ridiculous amounts of time, like 36,000 years apiece and stuff like that. Like, how can that make sense by our current understanding? You know what I mean? Like, like, we can't even make it to 70, some of us, you know what I mean? Like,
even this.
Like, imagine the stuff we could accomplish if we lived that long. Like, imagine, you know, how we could heal our spiritual side and all that stuff if we had that much time, but we're subjected to these ridiculously short lifespans, so we have to keep doing it over and over again. It's like a trap.
Yeah.
And
that's exactly what it is. They call it the, what is it, the circle of rebirth or something?
What is the exact phrase? I am not wrong. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially... So, like, if you think about it, like, what if the people running the world really knew that? They really know that we have to deal with this stuff inside of us and our spiritual side in order to evolve into the next phase. So what can they do to prevent us from doing all that? They can fill us with all the basic material needs and, like, say, you know, you need to have this car, you need to have sex with as many people as you can, and thus creating this endless cycle of, you know, just like self-gratification, like doing what feels good in the moment.
Yep.
And, you know, part of waking up is realizing that. Like, but anyways, yeah, back to the Sumerian Kings list. One of the things that I noticed on there is they talk about the god Marduk. And the god Marduk is a Babylonian god. But the Babylonian gods and the Sumerian gods are essentially just different versions of each other. And it goes the same with the Roman gods, the Greek gods. They're all literally the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll realize that, like, that's one of the things I realized reading all the Zechariah Sitchin books, because that's what he talks about. He not only, you know, says that they're what people they are, what versions of the god or who, he presents all the evidence they have in literally detailed format. And you can actually go online to the you can Google it or you can go to the website, but you can Google Cuneiform Library, and the UCLA has a actual website. It's like Wikipedia, where you can literally search through all the translated tablets and get the story for yourself. Like, literally, you can get on here and just, like, spend days, like, researching all the different tablets and that they've deciphered or whatever. And one of the guys I follow, what is his name? Goes by Forbidden Knowledge on Facebook. I've read a couple of books. I haven't drawn a blank now. I'll come back to that. But anyway,
no
one of the guys I follow, like, he told me about, or he mentions it, and, like, that's where he gets a lot of his material from for his websites and all that kind of stuff, because it's fascinating. And it details a picture, like, it goes even further back. It's telling, like, some of the tablets go into their history. So it's not only our history on this planet, but their history on their planet, and so on and so forth. This is like some Star Wars stuff. Like, honestly speaking, that's probably where they got the inspiration for Star Wars, is from these stories.
It could, like, be.
No, dude, I mean, I'm serious, man. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's crazy,
yeah,
to think, but, like, you ever watch Star Wars from the perspective, like, in a galaxy, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far away? What if that's literally just, like, like, look at it as, like, a documentary. Wouldn't that be nuts?
Like a history, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I choose to look at that kind of stuff with the, like, the possibility that that could be the case, and it gives me a little zing, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
rather than closing my mind off, no, that can't be the case. That's never going to happen, blah, 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 blah. Like,
I mean,
a lot of people do, or, like, we're trained to.
You got the two factions in Star Wars as well, you know, the light side, the dark side. And it kind of, it
right
fits.
Right, that's, I mean, that's the nature of the universe. Like, that's always going to exist, and it exists within us. Like, we have this weird genetic nature to hate each other and want to, you know, take advantage of the lesser sides of our species and, like, kill it. Like, why? You know, it's like it's programmed in our DNA. And again, when you read these Sumerian tablets, like, it starts to make a lot more sense. We are our makers. That's, we're exactly like them. We're, you know, and we don't even know why.
Well,
like,
we were created in their image, just like the, you know, Bible says.
Right, just like the Bible says. And, I mean, essentially, like, in the Sumerian version, they just say, like, man is fastened in our essence. And something to think about, like, in the original Hebrew translation of the Bible, it says Elohim, the Elohim created. And that is actually plural. That is not a singular word. I mean, you can go right online and look that up yourself. Like, it's plural. The gods created man. And that's the thing people need to understand, is this was not talking about a singular version. It wasn't until the Bible came out that they started ascribing it to a singular god. And, you know, there's a reason why you say amen.
Because
the Babylonian god Marduk was Marduk Ra Amen. So he proclaimed in certain point in history, like, this is during our time, like, I don't know, I think whatever it was, like 2000 BC or something like that, he proclaimed himself as the god above all else and started to kill everyone else who believed in a different god. And this is about the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. So they've proven, like, if you look on some of the researchers, like, they show that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by nuclear weapons. And you read the Bible from that perspective, like, the way they describe how they were destroyed, it sounds like a nuclear fallout. Yeah. Sounds like their, you know, their shadows were burned to the ground, which happens in a nuclear fallout.
Mm-hmm. In the flash,
So, like, these were destroyed with advanced weaponry because, like, essentially there was, like, a rebellion amongst all of them because they were still living on Earth. And they fought. Essentially, that almost wiped out the whole planet when they destroyed these cities, and that's what ended up ultimately making them leave and deciding that this was, you know, they were going to leave humanity to their own whims because it almost destroyed them fighting with each other.
That is really
that's fascinating.
Situation.
So, like,
yeah, definitely.
Like, it's fascinating because, like, he did. Like, he proclaimed himself as God above all. And, like, that's literally the Old Testament.
Like, mm-hmm.
That, you know, according to many different, like, scholars on the issue, like, including Billy Carson is the guy I was talking about. He says that, essentially, like, that is the God of the Bible of the Old Testament is that guy. And he was Enlil's son, who was the original, you know, king on earth or whatever, the original Sumerian god. So, like, father, like son, right?
Right. And that makes sense, you know, because it said, like, if you compare the Old Testament to the New Testament, they're nothing alike.
Yes, they're completely different. And, like, both of them, both Old and New Testament are filled with a mixture of knowledge. Like, in the, like, the Law of One series, they actually ask pretty extensively the source on that. And they say that because, you know, if you're a channel, which is what was, they talk about the God, you know, what do they call it? When they, essentially the people that were writing the Bible were channeling the information from God, right?
So,
there's a name that they call it.
Prophets.
Right. But what they were doing, essentially, is going into in meditative states, and they were getting this information. But most people don't know you can get both positive and negative information depending on how you are tuned. If you're not tuned properly, because you're essentially an instrument at that point, you can get just like, I mean, I'm sure your friend William Glenn will be able to confirm on that stuff. Is like you can get both positive and negative.
He's talked about that, too, yeah.
Right, so, like, the Bible is actually a mixture of positive and negative influence at the same time. That's why it's, like, it's hard to digest. It's like, okay, like, you know, I mean, I've been to church quite a few times. Like, I had a period where I went, and, like, you know, sometimes they'd read passages, and I'm like, man, that's inspiring. And sometimes they'd read stuff, I'm like, what do you do? Like,
it's terrifying.
Wiped out the whole city. Like,
yeah.
What? Like, because it's, you know, fear is the great controller, and that's what,
it
like,
is.
During the reign of Marduk or whatever, like, they essentially, he controlled his subjects with fear, and that fear has lasted to this day. He promised them eternal life and, you know, essentially protection from anybody who wished to destroy them, for the people that he chose.
Yeah. I mean, look at your options.
Sounds
you either
real.
Serve me or you go to hell for it. I mean, which one are you going to pick?
Right. And it's just like, that's, again, that's never been something that's sat right with me. Any thinking person is going to look at that and be like, nah, man. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. Not at all.
Like, I definitely think it's far more complicated than even, you know, even most people realize. Like, I say that the Buddhists and the Hinduism, where they talk about the chakras, forgive me if I get that wrong, but, like, I think, do they talk about chakras in Buddhism, too?
They do.
Okay, so that's, like, I would say that's probably about as close as it gets, like, to really hitting the nail on the head with spirituality. Like,
oh, I agree.
Honestly, like, how to actually conquer it, like, I mean, that's why a lot of the Buddhist monks achieve, like, the rainbow body state while still, you know, a human form. Like, there's actually, like thousands of documented cases of Buddhist monks achieving rainbow body states. Like, you can go online and search that as well.
Yes,
like,
it's a real thing.
Scientifically proven. Like, they'll be like disappearing and stuff in front of your eyes. Like, and on top of that, like, they demonstrate, I think it's the monks in Tibet have demonstrated that they can levitate blocks using sound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew about that, but like, that's fascinating. And like, that's why mm-hmm. the like the pyramids in South America and the pyramids in Egypt, they're sound conductors. Like, they figured out that the stones actually respond to certain frequencies. So how do you think they move these blocks? They levitated them
using sound.
That's how they did. Just like there's a guy in Florida that, you know, he's built this crazy. I don't know if you've heard about that. But like, a guy in Florida is like building these crazy big structures with, you know, these giant stones that nobody was knowing how he was doing it.
And he keeps
saying
himself,
that was good.
As a chariot. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
that was a good rabbit hole to go down for a little bit. You know what I mean? Like,
it can be done. That's the pure fact about it. There's so much that we can do that we don't even begin to, you know, even take the concept of it. Yeah.
Right. It's because our understanding of physics and all of that has been askewed. We've been kept, mm-hmm. you know, just advanced enough to be where we're at, but the real truth is hidden from us. Like, and the answer is, just like in the Law of One, they say that you have to combine science and spirituality. There was a split up at one point between the two because, you know, like, I don't know, there was a disagreement. But ultimately, you have to combine the two and take the dogma out of it. Like, that's what it boils down to. Like, the dogma is the manipulation. Like, saying my religion is better than yours, you know, my God is better than yours, it's so beyond ignorant. Like, even saying it out loud, I think of my kids, you know, arguing in the other room. that's the way I look at all of it.
Great point.
Yes, sir.
Very good points. And going back to what you say about the, you know, the Buddhists and all that, and the main key difference between Buddhism and, you know, other religions is that they're a philosophy, not a religion. And their purpose, they don't worship an almighty, powerful deity. They focus on the internal aspects of themselves. And that's the key to it all.
Right, exactly. And, like, that's the key to escaping the reincarnation cycle is to, you know, essentially lose the karmic debt you have, like, mm-hmm. while you're still here. And, you know, the way, essentially what they do, like, so most people think that, you know, to detach, like, there's a quote that says, you must detach yourself from everything you're afraid to lose. And the idea is, like, they think people, you know, they don't care. They don't, that means they don't love the person. But that's not true. You do love the person, but you don't, you're not attached to them. You don't own them. You know what I mean? That's the idea of attachment. You love them without the attachment. We tend to attach and want to possess everything around us. And that's what they try to teach you to do in Buddhism.
Yeah. And that's why they live such simple lives. That way they don't have the distraction or the temptation.
But yeah, man, if I could do it over, that's what I want to go do, man. I'd want to go live in a monastery.
I thought about it. I still think about it.
Most certainly do, actually. Because, like, I mean, I've spoken to quite a few Buddhist folks. There used to be these monks I lived by, and I would always go visit them. And, like, they're just the kindest people, man. And that's why I never sat right with me that, like, you know, people would say that these people will go to hell when they die. Like,
yeah,
I can't make sense, man. It doesn't make any sense.
Just saying a good person can go to hell makes no sense at all.
So back to, like, the Sumerian kings list and the gods. So the original Sumerian gods, like, I'm going to just list them off. So it was Anu, which was, like, essentially the king of Nibiru. He's the king of all of them. And then you got Enlil, Enki, Inanna, Ninhursag, and Marduk.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Shamash is another one that they talk about pretty heavily. And, like, what's interesting about them, so, like, at one point in time, I guess, according to the tablets, they talk about that the world was actually divided amongst these various gods. So, I guess Enki and Enlil, so there's a reason why people are so obsessed with the like Iraq, Middle East area, it's because, like, the original palaces, according to the Sumerian texts, were in that area. like the original human, like these, you know, advanced
yeah.
palaces that these people live in. So,
yeah.
like, my friend that was in the military, like, he talked about, you know, all the different artifacts and stuff that they were pillaging over there.
mm-hmm.
But, again, there's a lot more to that story, but I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah, I hear you there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to irritate anybody. But anyway, so that's why there's a big obsession with the Middle East. That aside from the fact that it's literally full of oil.
And diving into that,
one of the
too.
Oil reserves.
You know, Iraq, you're saying it's the most dangerous place on earth, basically, right? And what better facade to put on to keep people from wanting to go there than to make you think if you go there, you're going to die, basically. But what if that's all just an act to keep people away?
I mean, yes, granted, that could very well be the case, man. Like, to keep people away, because, like, man, you ever, like, get online and look at some of these fascinating places that the ancient peoples built, like,
mm-hmm.
over in that area? I mean, it's mind-blowing that ancient people could have built some of this stuff, like, entire cities inside of the mountainside. Like, it's crazy, man. And, like, some of these structures that are so big, like, for instance, the Temple of Jupiter. Look into the Temple of Jupiter. The stones on that are bigger than the pyramid stones by a long shot. Like,
oh,
why?
Oh.
And according to, like, originally history said that the Romans built it, but then it's been confirmed that the Romans found the ruins and built on top of them.
Right. Yep.
And, like, dude, there's pictures of people standing on these stones, and it's out of control. Like, they're huge. There's no way anything could lift them that we have.
Ooh.
And it's mind-blowing to think about, man.
I should do a video on that.
I think you should. Like, look into the Temple of Jupiter, man. There's a whole you get on that ancient civilization stuff, there's a whole episode on it. Like, that's how I learned about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about the different weights of these stones. I don't know the exact numbers, but they're ridiculous.
Like,
and
thousands
like
of tons.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm telling you, if anybody gets a chance, go on and watch every single one of those episodes of the Ancient Civilization Show. Anybody that's fascinated by this stuff, it'll present it all in a way that really gets the brain going.
And check out Gaia like we do. You guys subscribe to it, but there's a lot of good stuff there.
Oh, absolutely, man. Like, it's easy to spend days on there.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, I used it instead of Netflix, but...
not a bad thing.
No, not at all, man. No, I've been kind of lazy and watching a lot of Netflix. But in any case, so there's a couple different theories like I've come across in the past week to talk about the origins, how modern man came to be. One of them I wanted to mention mm-hmm. because I think it's important. So one of them, I keep seeing pictures of the meme of the little green men having sex with a monkey. You know,
yeah,
that's one of the theories is that, like, I think we follow the guy on TikTok mentioned that, I don't remember who it was, but anyway. So that's one of the theories is that aliens had sex with a monkey and man.
There you go.
Answer,
there you go.
One of the other ones is like the holy, I think it's the holy mushroom theory. I don't know if that's the exact name, but it's like the idea that apes, you know, came across hallucinogenic mushrooms. They ate them and thus became conscious.
Mm.
Like, that's one that I think is Terrence McKenna put forward, like one of the psychonauts that, you know, essentially researches psychedelics. It's a pretty fascinating theory, really. You know, it's one of many.
Yeah.
Again, it's a cool
look.
And then
that's plausible. Yeah.
Obviously, the regular theory we have is evolution. That one, you know, why a lot of people cling to that one because, again, you can see evolution all around you. The entire world, it's obvious that things have evolved.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it does not fit us. Like, it does not explain how humans all of a sudden managed to learn farming. All of a sudden, you know, the sudden emergence of civilization. It's like
mm-hmm.
the way they describe it in the book here is like, you know, did somebody have a baby and all of a sudden they just, you know, decided that I'm going to learn how to mow this field and plant crops and domesticate animals.
Yeah.
I think it's a whole lot more likely that we were.
Yeah, why is it just the monkeys or the apes that evolved? Why didn't any other species evolve in the same context we did the best of kids?
Right. That is very true. Like, why did, you know, different types of animals not become more conscious? And like, it's interesting. Like, there's a lot of missing pieces that, you know, don't make sense. And like, I don't know. But the fact is we're taught in school, in regular school, we are taught that this is where we came from. Like,
yep.
They present it as absolute fact when they know that it's not the case. It's a theory. Mm-hmm. Everything is. So,
everything's,
you know,
theory.
Based on facts and the way we measure the world around us, yes, that seems to be the most plausible thing. So they present it to us like that. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's wrong for them to do that, just like how they have presented history. For example, I'm going to give you something that will blow your mind. Most people think, because we're taught in school, that Hitler died at the end of World War II. And that is actually not the case. They've now taken it out of the history books and are changing it because we've now confirmed that the man did not die. We were told that he died for a number of, you know, for this long. But they actively knew he was alive.
Yeah, they said he killed himself.
Like,
escape getting caught. Yeah.
Right. Like, there's a show called Hunting Hitler on the History Channel that talks about it, man. Like, it's crazy to me. So, like, looking at what you know and what you learned in school and saying that, you know, it's never going to change it is ignorant. It's human ignorance at its best, because things are always changing. History is always being updated as we find new information. Science is always changing. Science is
always
going to be absolute.
Just like the paranormal.
Right. Right. Exactly. It's never going to be just, this is the way it is. Because that isn't how we learn. Like, we would never advance and learn about new planets if we thought about, you know, this is all there is in the solar system.
Right.
You know what I mean? We would never have found the planets, you know, Pluto and, what is it, Neptune is the other one that they found in the last, whatever, how many years it was.
Yeah.
But if we just take the world as it is and stop asking questions, like, that isn't science. Science is the ability to question everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else is a manipulation.
Yep. I mean, even gravity
is
still a theory.
Oh, yeah, the theory, yeah, gravity indeed is still a theory. And, like, I think one of the things in David Wilcock's book he talks about is that gravity is more than, it's way more than we think it is. It's, like, actually.
I believe it.
It's, what is it called? The source field. So there's a field of energy that, like, he talks about it in thorough detail. But I don't know, I'm not going to be able to describe it properly, so I'm not going to do it. But essentially, there's more to it than meets the eye, right?
Wow, yeah.
Like, we're taught basic stuff in school, and, like, most of us free-thinking people started to realize early that the school system is really just creating workers for society. That's what their job is for the public school system. Yes,
yeah,
I'm fully aware that some
work.
People...
Yeah.
Right. They need people. They need cogs in the machine. As much as they try to say that they don't, like, this whole system is built on us.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I'm aware that some people are able to do a lot of work in school, you know, end up becoming doctors. But at the end of the day, anybody who's working a part of the society is still a cog in the wheel. You're performing a function in society, and we're being taxed to absolute insanity over it.
Yep, that way we can't survive financially.
Right. And so, anyway, back to, like, where I'm at in this book. You know, I wanted to mention a lot of this stuff because, like, I think it helps me, like, kind of try to talk about how I came to this point, like, how I started to really question. Like, I think that most people, you know, most people I talk to in the real world about all this stuff, like, they don't ever stop. They've never stopped to question, like,
mm-hmm.
what they've been taught, because we're taught that it's absolute. You know, your parents teach you, if you're a fundamentalist Christian, your parents teach you that this is it. This is everything. And you're not allowed to question outside of it. You know, your school teaches you that this is the way it happened. You're not allowed to question outside of it.
Going to hell. Yep.
Right. I mean, if that is the case, man, I'm going to be there. That's, you know, that's okay with me.
Yeah, I thought that too. Hell, to be free or be a slave to what they teach you.
Right. I mean, I've experienced, I'm going to just touch on the hell subjects. Like, I think that there is a possibility that there's, like, a lower astral plane that would be described as hell. However,
Yes. Like,
the burning pitchforks and all that stuff is a different ballgame. Like, I'm going to give you an example. Like, I think if you were to die in a drug overdose, you're going to go to a position to where you're going to be trapped in your own personal hell. You're going to be there because you died, like, as a victim of your own emotions. And essentially drugs keep you trapped there. So, like, I think there is lower vibrational places that you're going to end up at.
You create your own hell.
Like, they support that. Right. It's like they – have you ever seen the show Lucifer?
Yes.
Yeah, so, like, when the people's hell is literally their own essentially their own guilt that's torturing them. And that that always actually sat well with me. Like, I think that would be the case, you know, if you die like that.
Yeah.
Like,
I do believe we judge ourselves.
Right. Yeah, so we are our hardest critics, man. We do judge ourselves. We judge ourselves too much. Honestly, we're way too hard on ourselves. Like, you know, that's one of the other things I'm trying to do with my podcast is try to do a little bit more inspirational stuff if I can and, try to, you know, talk to people. Everybody's messed up. It's not just you. It's not just me. Everybody's messed up. A lot of people put on a face.
Yeah.
Yes. But most people, they're dealing with battles you don't even know. And you just need to be kind to people, right? Sometimes a simple smile at somebody can make all the difference in the world. You know what I mean? Like,
it can.
That's what I try to do.
I mean, it's hard to do in today's society, but that's a good point.
It can be.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't know. In our field of work, we encounter, trust me, I fail at this a lot, and encounter thousands of people a day. And sometimes, you know, I'm given ample opportunities to be kind to people, but, you know, I don't always succeed because it's easy to let other people's stuff get to you. But at the end of the day, if we all are, you know, one, essentially, as the long one says, we are all one, and we all come from one source, you know, essentially, we need to be kind to this person is to be kind to yourself.
Yep. Treat others like you want to be treated.
Right.
You were talking about you started into this.
What happened?
You're talking about kind of what that you started into all of this.
Right, yeah. Like, in the midst of honestly, I used to be an addict, man. Like, I suffered a lot of, like, when my daughter died, like, I suffered a lot. And, I turned all sorts of freaking different medications and all that stuff to try to bury my pain. Alcohol was the main one for a long time. And after I got done with all that, like, I realize it's a compulsion addiction regardless. So if you ever, most people go through lots of trauma and end up having repetition compulsion. But so you can be addicted to anything. You'd be addicted to information. Some are just worse than others. But yeah, like it fascinates me to learn about ancient civilizations and ancient history because again, like I want to know where we come from. And it's some type of fire that was lit in me when I started, literally it was like a zing. I mean, most people know, like, if they've ever experienced something that's, like, passionate, you know, a passionate flame, it's like you get, like, a zing feeling. So, again, I started researching everything I could about the Anunnaki and stuff like that. And, like, part of the book I'm rereading again, like, this book is still blowing my mind. And, like, I've read it twice now. And the chapter I'm currently on is talking about, humanity's obsession with gold. Because the book is laying the groundwork before it starts talking about the translation of the tablet. So it first talks about the human genome and how, like, we essentially don't use our whole genome. It seems like parts of it are intentionally turned off, which points to, again, genetic manipulation. The next part it's talking about is, the history of man. Then it talks about our obsession with gold and how, again, I think I mentioned it before, but gold can be traced back essentially to, you know, the dawn of civilization, dawn of man. Like, it goes all the way back to the first first civilizations. And there's a couple different theories on that. One of them is like the alluvial gold theory, where they talk about, you know, people found gold in the rivers and they picked it up and they're like, oh, this is shiny, I like it. But, you know, that does explain that, but how do they, like, have you ever really looked into the process of mining ores, like gold ores? You know what goes into that?
It's a very hard thing to do. I know a little, but not nearly enough.
It's a complex smelting process that requires different chemicals and to apply a certain amount of heat. So it's mind-blowing to think that we just accept that these people were just suddenly able to figure out how to mine gold from rocks. Like,
right.
And why? Why exactly? You know? And that's like the framework it's leading. And like, this is presented, I'm telling you, this book is amazing. Like, it's hard, like, if you're not really into science, at first the book is boring, but once it gets into, like, the history of man and, like what the tablets say, it's like, holy crap, man, this is mind-blowing. But yeah, like, I don't know, man, every time I think of the gold thing, that's, like, one of the arguments I use with people, like, why,
yeah.
How can you explain that? How can you explain these advanced ruins all over the world?
You can't.
Like, it's crazy how the timelines actually sync up too. Like, when they talk about, you know, when you compare the timelines of, like, when the tablets say, for example, like the creation of man versus when we've mapped the genome all the way back, like it literally links up. And this is stuff that was confirmed many, many different years apart. Like, the genome was mapped before these tablets were translated. So it's not like they just put the stuff in here, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What's also pretty cool, you know, in the Bible, you know how to describe heaven in the Bible, right?
Streets
of gold.
Heaven in the Bible?
Streets of gold.
Right. Right, and actually in the Book of Enoch, that's one of the apocryphary texts, they're called, he talks about going to heaven and there being streets of gold and stuff like that, like, because Enoch was taken up to heaven. And mm-hmm. in the Sumerian versions, Enoch actually has a different name, but he was taken to the other planet. Like, so when they view heaven and they describe heaven, like, that's where these beings were going. They were leaving, you know, coming and going in these spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually, you know, if you look, another one of the ancient civilization show, they talk about how a lot of these different sites, they actually look like spaceports. And again, going back to the tablets, they actually describe, like, people, you know, describing these rocket ships coming and going. Like, they call it the land of the rocket ships, like, or they call it the land of something else, but it's just, you know, it's translated as the land of the rocket ships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're dealing with an advanced civilization that colonized our planet, essentially, and passed them off as gods.
Yeah.
So that's what it boils down to.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And it goes into such depth that, like, a lot of these gods are actually, again, they spread all over the world and became different gods as time went on because they had such long lives. So there's, again, like the Romans, the Greeks, all their gods, if you really look into them, they're exactly the same. And, like, we look at them as they are mythical figures, but, like, the way they describe these people is that they lived alongside them. Like, we look at, you know, we look at that like, oh, that's just, you know, the ramblings of ancient peoples. Like, what if it's really true? What if they really did live alongside these people? What if they possessed, you know, advanced technology that looked like magic? That, you know what I mean? Like, if you went back in time with a cell phone today, people are going to think you had a magic device in your hands.
That's true. Take a flashlight back to the past. Maybe a guy there, too.
And, like, have you ever seen the depictions of the Sumerian gods and how they always seem to carry this, like, purse-like thing?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Like, one of the theories I was just reading into that, because, like, nobody seems to know the answer to that, is that they possessed, like, interdimensional, like, they were, like, an interdimensional key, essentially, Like, you know, like I look at it like the Rick and Morty show, how he had like the portal gun.
Yeah.
that's what I kind of look at that as.
It could be. They could just simply point it and open a door and leave.
I think one of the things I want to talk about on the on our next episode is how this all links to like the story of Atlantis and like
very good.
So the Lemurians and the Atlanteans. Because it ties together because these beings again were responsible for a lot of these ancient cultures, a lot of the ancient gods of, like, for instance, the South American people, like, they said that they, you know, came from across the sea and taught them all this stuff. And it's like, you start to add it all up and it's like, okay, this is this guy. And that's what the tablets say, is that they went around the world and tried to, like, each brother or whatever family member was handed a different part of the world.
Yeah.
And they instilled, you know, their belief systems or whatever on different sides of the world. And I don't know if it was like, I don't remember the exact reasoning behind it or what like ended up happening, you know, with all of it. But essentially, again, when they all got into a fight, they ended up leaving the planet. And that was the Sodom and Gomorrah explosion or whatever, when they used nuclear weaponry.
Right. Yeah.
But yes, I definitely want to discuss like Atlantis and then the, like, there's one thing that's not mentioned in here is the god Thoth. So the god of knowledge. He's like I believe it's the Egyptian god of knowledge. And he has a different name in the Sumerian text, and I didn't write it down. But he's also an important, really, really important part of all this because in the Sumerian tablets, according to him, he's the one that essentially built the Great Pyramid.
Hmm.
And you know, that's one of those things of speculation because now I've come across different texts that suggest, you know, different people built it. So some people say that, you know, essentially Ra built the Great Pyramid and all the other pyramids were replicas of it. Like, to me, I mean, that could be the case. Like, again, they depict Ra a lot in, you know, he was definitely a god of Egypt. Like, again, I think we got a story, right? So you get the Sumerian version of the story, you get the, you know, this written down, but is it the full truth? Like,
That's the question.
We can use it to get a good baseline for the for the creation of humanity. Yes. Do I think it's the exact play-by-play of how everything happened? I mean, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of it that is, but there also could be a lot that isn't because, again, you know, history is essentially written by a group of observers and none of them are impartial. They're all going to make themselves out to look good. So, you know, you never know how many different scribes wrote this stuff, you know, how the scribe worded it, how the person who was telling the scribe what to write worded it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, I also think it's important to know, man, if you've ever seen people actually inscribe stuff into the clay tablets, it is not a quick process.
I got chiseled in, yeah.
I mean, they do it when it's wet, but like, they have to make each one of these symbols with a tool, man. Like, I imagine they could get fast at it, but like, it's not a quick process by any means.
Oh no!
And there's thousands of these tablets. Like, I'm gonna spend a bit more time pouring over the story of Atlantis and all that stuff that they have, and like reread the Book of Thoth. Because, again, like, he's an important figure in all this because, like, he, according to the Egyptians, are one that, you know, he was the bringer of knowledge. And, again, reading it's the Emerald Tablets. So it's the Emerald Tablets of the Atlantic. And I actually thought it was interesting. You ever seen that movie, we talked about, the new one, the Eternals?
One
of the things that girl gets is an Emerald Tablet. I thought it was kind of interesting that they put that in this, you know, Hollywood movie. Again, I mean, they always put gems like that in Hollywood movies. They always put
hidden truth. Yep, exactly.
They really do, like 100%. I mean, I can't even watch a movie anymore without looking for all the background stuff they have in movies.
That's what you're supposed to be looking forward to, because that's where it's all hidden at,
Right, so I implore anybody to... Anybody listening to this, man, go to look up the cuneiform library and spend a bunch of time going through that. You know, watch some of the ancient civilization stuff and like start to come to these conclusions by yourself. Like you'll start to realize that, again, I think that our story has been manipulated over time. Like I think that they want us to believe a certain way and act a certain way, and like that's not working anymore. You know what I mean?
No, it's time for a change.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is.
It is coming.
Let's see. I think I covered all my little notes here. Like, sorry if I droned on about my, like how I came to, you know, started questioning everything. But, like, honestly, anybody who really knows me and, like, knows that, like, my whole perspective on existence has changed since I was, you know, even just 10 years ago, completely different. And, like, I look back and I'm like, man, I can't even fathom that that person was even me. And that's, you know, part of starting to question everything is you gain, honestly, you gain, you know, I don't know what you gain, but headaches and fear, I guess, a little bit, but also a drive that, like, you know, you're going against the status quo, going against the norm.
You have to these days. You got.
I'm definitely going to hell if it exists.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We're screwed. All right, so we still got about 8 minutes left here.
8 whole minutes?
Yeah, that's a fast hour.
I think I can talk a little bit about, like, what are they talking? So one of the, that's the other thing. Oh, actually, man, that movie actually brings up a good point, that Eternals movie. Like, you watch that, and then you see some of the advanced technology that these superheroes have, like the winged guy, for instance. Like, doesn't that seem a little interesting? Because, like, you know, they describe a lot of the ancient gods as winged people. Like, you know, what if we look at it as they possessed advanced technology? You know what I mean? Like, not only were they, you know, much bigger than us, like, you know, 12 feet tall, or if not bigger, like, they possess super advanced technology. So, I mean, like, imagine what we could do way more advanced than we are. Like, you can't even look 20 years ago at the technology 20 years ago versus now. The leaps we've made is out of control. Like, imagine, you know, 20 years in the future and 20 years after that. Imagine if we were 1,000 years older than we are now, and, like, what could the technology be like then? I mean, depends on what happens. Depends on if we're still here, if the planet's still here, what nobody's going to know.
That's a big if. Right.
Right. I think we're at the tipping point. So, you know, humanity or this world exists in cycles. And that's one of it's one of the things you want to look into, like, get some time, I guess. Everything exists in cycles. There's all sorts of evidence. Humanity and civilization has risen and fallen. And, like, we are at a tipping point. So either we all wake up, change the way we use technology, make them, you know, hopefully they release this advanced technology to us so we can stop destroying the planet, or we end up destroying the planet, we all die. But, again, Earth is not going to allow us to destroy it.
Oh, no. The Earth is a living being.
Absolutely not. It is not going to allow us to destroy it. One of the things that the book has been talking about is how, you know, an asteroid could literally come at any point in time and kill everything on this planet. Most of the time, you know, we don't even know about asteroids until they're too close to do anything about it. And you know dang well that they are not going to tell us if an asteroid is going to hit us. They're just going to jump shit.
They don't want to cause the fear and panic and the riots.
No. I mean, in all honesty, at any point in time, that could happen. You know, at any point in time, the sun could decide it's going to launch a solar flare at us and kill us all. I mean, life is short.
It is. Very short. All right, so we're coming about on a 5-minute mark here. So what I want to do from here is kind of summarize what we plan to do on the next episode. And you say you want to kind of get into the Atlantis subject, right?
Yes, that's one of the original things that fascinated me the most is the idea of Atlantis, and I want to talk about how it, you know, links to Antarctica, how it links to, like, the Bermuda Triangle. Like, there's there's a lot of linkage there. I'm going to write this down so I don't forget. and, like, why, you know, they say, I mean, because, I mean, in history, Plato talked about it. Like, Atlantis existed in history, and it's an important part of our history that's been hidden from us.
Yeah.
Like, and it was not just an island. It wasn't, it was an entire civilization. It was an empire, like, that expanded over the world.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the things, like, Billy Carson talks about in some of his stuff, and that's always fascinated me. And it's very linked to the god, the Egyptian god, Thoth, because according to the Sumerian tablets, he was the one that went down and formed Atlantis. Like, he had formed this advanced civilization using crystal technology and all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's definitely a good one I want to focus on. I might be solid for an hour there.
That might catch it longer, yeah. All right. So there you go, guys. Next time we talk with Josh next Tuesday, we're going to dwell into the Atlantis subjects. And I do want to bring up that coming up on the 3rd, I have my talk with Haley from Savannah. And on the 10th, I'll be talking with William Glenn again. All right. So, Josh, before we wrap up, do you want to give a quick mention of where they can find some information on you, your podcast and stuff?
Yep. The again, on Anchor, which is on Spotify and Google Music, it's called Synchronized Universe with 3 3s, one in the beginning, one in the middle, one at the end. And, yeah, by all means, check it out. We love it. I'm talking about mental health stuff, talking about all sorts of paranormal stuff on there, anything I can think of. Depends on how I feel on certain days.
Definitely check them out. You can also find links in our Facebook group, which is the Paranormal Truth Seekers of the Unknown. Come check us out there. And give a shout out to my buddy Josh here. I'm sure if William's listening.
Feel free to add me. Add me on the book. Why not?
Add him. So. And if David Wilcox, if you're listening, let us talk to you sometime.
Oh, I would love that.
That would be an amazing show.
Sir, I could be fanboyed out, all right? We all fanboyed out. All right.
I can imagine so. All right, well, we'll wrap up here, Josh. It was a pleasure speaking with you tonight. And I look forward to talking to you the next time.
You as well, my friend.
All right, have a good night.
You too.
All right, see ya. All right, guys, we'll go ahead and close this gate. And we will end this episode. Stay tuned for the next coming up episodes. Saturdays, starting in September. It'll be 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And my series with Josh will continue on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Once these shows are over, they will be immediately uploaded to the YouTube channel. They'll also be available on Blog Talk Radio and through my Spreaker accounts. But the easiest way is probably just to go to the YouTube channel. They're all going to be there too. Anyways, hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. If you're sitting there looking at the screen, you see that follow button and you hadn't hit it yet, go ahead and hit that follow button for me. And I'll catch you guys on the next show. You have a great night.